What is happening? Welcome back to the Inside Trail. I'm your host, Dan McCaffrey. For those of you who haven't been here before, I talk a lot of shite. It's all right. But usually what I do is I have people on here and we chat about all things kind of fitness, mindset, travel, anything really that that seems like it could be interesting. But today it's just going to be me talking about some of the things that I think are relevant towards kind of fitness and anything that I, you know, and that really came to mind. It was nice to get in behind the mic again. It's been a while, probably like 6 months since we did a podcast. I've been in the progress of kind of getting my area together. So first of all, I want to give a big shout out to Mikey Walsh at Mika Dub. I will I'll leave his information in the box, but sick, I love the logo, and even got it onto canvas for me as well, which I'm in love with. So if you do want anything, do get on to him. The other thing, as you can see, oh, I don't know, ooh, if you're listening to this on audio you're gonna be like what, but Cheeky Rascal, if you haven't seen, Cheeky Rascal is a coffee shop trailer. It is in Howth Junction, and then at the weekends it is in Setonians. Then they have recently opened up a second trailer in Clontarf Rugby Club on the weekends, and then keep an eye out, they will be moving the second trailer somewhere else during the week, so keep an eye out for that. But the guys over at Cheeky Rascal are great friends of mine, and they, you know, I just told them that we were going to be wearing the Cheeky Rascal hoodie, and they said, look, anyone who comes up to the shop and says that they listen to the Inside Trail, they will get 10% off, which I thought was pretty sound. So you know, enjoy 10% off. All you got to do is say the Inside Trail sent me. So there you go. But look, we're gonna get cracking. There's a good bit of talk for me today, you know, all about kind of calories, tracking them, burning them, relationships with food, you know, training. It's genuinely just a really brief spew about all things that that I thought were relevant. It could have been a little bit more structured, and I do probably end up on a lot of different tangents, but it's good to get back, and happy to be here. So if you enjoy it, like it, share it, subscribe. It's all much appreciated on my end. So without further ado, enjoy the podcast. Bam, bam, bam. This is the Inside Trail. Well, hello. Welcome back to another episode of the Inside Trail. It's been a while since I've been in behind here, but it's good to be back. I've got myself a nice little setup here now, so hopefully it'll mean that I can do these a little bit more often, and provided once the COVID situation calms down a bit, we'll get some guests on here and get back to doing what we love. But for today, I just wanted to kind of briefly jump into some kind of fitness related stuff. Over the last 6 months, I decided I wanted to get qualified as a personal trainer. So I, you know, got a personal training qualification, a nutritional kind of you know, the kind of very basic qualification as well. So just a bit of background on me, if you haven't been here before. I study PE and biology, so that's kind of my basis of fitness and training. I used to play rugby, I'm into the gym a bit, but I kind of only really learned things that I really wish I had known when I was a lot younger, would have helped my my progress, I suppose, a lot more. So I think the first thing that I wanted to do today was to go through some of the main things that I think everyone could do with knowing. Because one of the things that I do want to promote on here is the education element of, you know, not trying to just tell people things with no, you know, background to it. And you know, the education, I think, you know, you can give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. You can teach him to fish, he'll eat for the rest of his life. So, you know, I do want to jump into a couple of things, and hopefully you'll be able to take away some points that you'll be able to implement into your own life. So first thing I wanted to start with is calories, tracking them, what are they, and so forth. So to start, calorie is it's energy. It's what our bodies use to, you know, to perform, to do the basic things, and without them, you know, we wouldn't be able to survive. So first thing I want to talk about is tracking calories. So tracking calories, you know, for some people, they don't like doing it. They think it's very obsessive, and you know, it can be very rigid and stuff like that. And I don't think that people should be tracking their calories every day for the rest of their lives. But I do think it's a good tool to understand what exactly it is you're putting into your body, and can you be more efficient in the way that you use your calories. So the first way that I would like to go about it is talking about what foods we use to actually, you know, give our body fuel, and can I use them a little bit better, and can I be a bit more flexible with them. So one of the big things for me is, you know, getting enough protein in the diet, because, you know, in order to build muscle, we need protein. In order to recover properly, we need protein. And also, what people don't know, or a lot of people don't know, is that when you eat food, your body has to break it down into the, you know, the building blocks in which it can be used in your body. And in order to actually break down protein, it takes a lot of energy to do so. So one of the ways that we burn calories is called the thermic effect of food. So when you eat protein, it takes like 30% of those calories actually to burn it, or to not to burn it, to use it, and to break it down into its amino acids that will be used then to build muscle, etc. So whereas when you compare that to like fats and carbs, which are like 5% and 10%, you know, you're not really burning off that many calories when you're trying to digest it. Whereas protein, like you eat, let's say, 1,000 calories worth of protein, by the time that's actually digested, it's probably only, you know, 750, somewhere between 700 and 800 calories. Whereas you eat 1,000 calories of fat, you know, there's only about 5% on the thermic effect of food on fat, so you're getting in like 950. So I think it's important to know where your calories are coming from. Then the food choices, you know, the fitness industry now, it demonizes, you know, chocolate and cheat meals and things like that. And then it, you know, it, you look at, for example, I saw a post on Instagram a couple of days ago of, you know, avocado on toast versus Nutella on toast. And, you know, one is, you know, widely accepted in the fitness industry, whereas the other one is demonized. And, you know, the avocado has like, you know, 360 calories on toast, whereas Nutella, you know, a moderate serving of Nutella is only 160. So I think if you can understand where your calories come from and how to moderate things, you can still enjoy foods while not going too overboard. So I definitely think that if you can understand where your calories come from, you'll be able to kind of make better changes and kind of sub things in a little bit better. So that's why I do think that if you are thinking about tracking your calories, I would do it for a week, even just to see where do you get a lot of your calories from, where can you change, you know, even slight changes like changing the oil you cook with, changing the butters that you cook with. Because I think a big thing that is glossed over when tracking calories, you know, there's the stuff that you cook with, you know, like there's nine calories per gram of fat, and there's a lot of fats in oils and butter. So if you can change what you cook with and use kind of better alternatives, you know, you can save a lot of calories there. the other ways that I think are great ways of saving calories, you know, instead of drinking full sugar soft drinks or energy drinks, just go for the sugar-free and the zero-calorie option. Just save a lot of calories. The other one is if you're a big coffee drinker, you know, there's like 200 calories in a cappuccino. There's like 110, 120 in a flat white, and there's about 8 in an Americano. So if you're a big coffee drinker, maybe try and switch to, instead of having 4 cappuccinos a day, maybe 2 Americanos and 2 flat whites. Again, these are all things that you can pick up when you start to track. And again, even if you only track for, you know, you track for a week, and then after a week you're like, okay, I can change this, that, and the other, and then you're like, okay, I'm going to track now, make myself conscious of it, and make a couple of changes for 3 weeks, and hopefully by after 4 weeks you kind of have a better understanding of what meals you can have without, you know, feeling like you're going overboard, and, you know, staying within your aligned calories. So if you're not sure of what your calories should be, if you type into Google TDEE calculator, type in your sex, your age, your height, your weight, and it'll be able to tell you what your calories should be, and, you know, how active you are. So again, I think everyone should even try and, you know, even see, like, what calories should you be getting? Are you getting enough? Maybe you're not, maybe you're eating too much. And then from that, you can then work out how you're gonna burn calories. So in terms of burning calories, we've got the BMR, which is pretty much how your body functions throughout the day, doing brain function, heart function, all those other things, even just your digestion, you know, how many calories is it gonna take? So it's about 70% usually of your total intake is going towards BMR. Then you've got your exercise, which only actually accounts for usually about 5%. So again, that'll increase depending on the intensity at which you're training, but usually it's about between 5, maybe maximum like 8 to 9, maybe even 10 if you're doing like HIIT sessions and stuff like that. But I think people can be very, you know, deluded to think how many calories they're getting burnt in a session. And as well, there's so many easier ways to up your calories, or to up how many calories you burn. The second way is non-exercise activity thermogenesis. So your in-session cals are called EAT, exercise activity thermogenesis, and then your outside of training session, so your non-activity, very simple, is like how many steps you do in a day. And that's why I think, you know, getting out for a walk, you know, a lot of people have step challenges with their friends, so I think they're amazing for getting people moving. And just trying to get your NEAT up, like, it's such a good way of burning calories, and it actually accounts for about 15% of your total calories burned. So just by going for a walk, you know, try and use the stairs. If you're going somewhere, if it's close enough, if you could walk instead of drive, you know, that they're just simple ways that, you know, instead of having to be like, oh, I need to go and do an hour's cardio now to burn off these calories, you could be like, actually, I'll just, you know, try and walk places, or I'll try and, you know, another thing is, like, if you're going to meet a friend for a coffee, let's just meet them for a walk, you know, you walk for half an hour, you can burn, like, you know, 250 calories, like, depending on, obviously, how fast you walk. But, you know, they're easy ways to up how many calories you burn. Then you have your thermic effect of food, which I discussed already, but again, just by adding protein into your diet and hitting your protein intake, you know, protein, it fills you more, it's good for recovery, and, you know, just by eating protein instead of fats or carbs, or having a higher ratio of protein to carbs and fats, you can burn more calories just by eating protein. So I think that's a really essential thing for people to know. One of the other main things that I never really considered was, you know, accountability. So there's so many different ways of being held accountable. So, you know, different people will opt for different things, you know, whether it's having a coach, having even just a training partner, or someone that you're like, okay, I'm going to do this, and then they'll hold you accountable to it. I've heard of people doing, you know, contracts where they make a contract saying, I'm going to do this every day, or I'm going to try and do this every day. You know, you sign it and you make it known, like, this is my intention and this is what I want to do. Because, you know, intentions are great until, you know, until you kind of you look away from them. And having you can have great intentions on a Sunday night when you're being like, great intention, but you need to be like, right, when you get up on the Monday morning or the Tuesday morning, it needs to be like, okay, how am I going to implement this, and how am I going to be held accountable? So for me, one of the biggest things I do for being held accountable, I have five rules that, you know, that there's five things that I try and do every single day. If I don't do, some days I might only get three, I'm human, as everyone is, you know, but on the days that you get four, you're like deadly. And on the days you get five, you feel so good because you're like, oh, I did it. So the five I've got are hitting my NEAT. So that's hitting my 15,000 steps a day. Now, because of lockdown and everything like that, it used to be 10, but I've upped it to 15 just because, you know, I like to walk the dog. I get out and listen to a podcast, something like that. But that is one that I've been really trying to keep to. Second one is hitting my training consistently. So, you know, not going to the gym at the minute, but training, doing a gym session or doing a HIIT session, just something, some sort of actual like exercise hour that, you know, I get to blow off some steam, get the endorphins going. But that's one that I find that if I miss that one, I kind of might feel a little bit shitty. So that's one that I've been trying to really be like, okay, you need to do that. Then I have my staying to my calories. So this is one that I'm like, you know, some days I'm like, oh, I'm 200 over, or I'm, you know, whatever. So it's a hard one, but I feel like if you can get in your calorie deficit by, you know, 5 or 7 days a week, and on the other two you're only up by, you know, 200, and then, you know, you're hitting all your other things, you know, that's good progress. And that's, you know, and I think if you get used to doing that, you'll get better and better at doing it. So that is my third. My fourth one is my protein intake. As I alluded to earlier, the importance of protein in the diet. And that's one that I'm a big meat eater. You know, porridge and protein. That's one that I've been pretty good at doing. But it is one that, you know, I do think that for other people who mightn't be big on getting in their protein intake, I definitely think it is something that it should be a rule, and it should be, you know, one of your guidelines that you a non-negotiable is what I would refer to them as. And even though some days you mightn't hit them, if you can strive to get them, I think you'll do really well. And then my last one is hydration. So just trying to get two, three liters of water in. You know, some days if I drink, you know, two, three coffees and a Monster, and then you're like, oh, I haven't drank enough water of one of those big jugs. So I just try and get throughout the day enough water in. So they're my five. You know, your five might be different, but I think in terms of accountability, it's a very good way to actually look and see, okay, am I actually doing the things that are gonna push me towards my goal? Because I think a lot of people can be like, oh, I'm training hard, I'm doing everything, but I'm not seeing my results. But it's like, are you doing all the things that are necessary? Another one actually could be sleep. Now, that's the one part for me that I haven't necessarily nailed straight on the head yet. You know, some days I get stuck on Netflix and I'm, you know, one more episode, next episode. But you know, when I do get a couple of good days of sleep in a row, I do feel excellent. So that is one that I do want to bring in. I'm not saying that it's not as important. It's just for me personally, I haven't been able to nail that down yet. So, but they are the best things that I think. Set yourself goals, things that you can assess against and see, am I doing this? And, you know, you can't get, you know, really down on yourself if you don't get all of them, because it's like, it's fine. Like, just try again the next day. And then, you know, someday you might only get two. Someday you might get none. You know, you have a bad day, it's fine. But the next day, try and get two, try and get three, try and get four. And then when you get those days, when you hit five, you're gonna feel great, and you're gonna feel like, okay, I'm really doing really well here. But I think it is important to know that if you are getting, you know, annoyed at yourself that you're not getting progress, you're like, I'm doing everything, or I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to do, you know, well, are you? So I think that's a very important thing. So there's two other things that I want to go over briefly. So first thing is the way you're training. Are you training towards a goal? Are you training the right way? are you doing? You know, I think a lot of people, they see these, you know, reels on Instagram, they see a program, they see an influencer promoting this thing, like, yeah, I'll do that. And then you're like, okay, but first of all, are you at the same level as that person? Do you have the same experience as that person? Do you have the same amount of free time a week to train that? And I think everyone is so focused on getting their, you know, chest, shoulder, back, leg day that, like, okay, if you're only hitting the gym 3 days a week, maybe you're doing like a chest, a back, and then, oh, sorry, I forgot legs this week, I'll try again next week. But if every week that's the same, you know, you're not being realistic. So I think it's important that if you are only going to get three gym sessions in a week, do full body, you know, do a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, full body. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. Like, you're still hitting all the muscles, and, you know, because the worst thing you can do is, and it's definitely something that I would have, you know, happened to me in the past, that, you know, I used to do push pull legs, and I would always do my push and my pull, and then, you know, I might lose the legs later in the week, and then I'd be like, oh, I'll just do push again. Then you do, okay, I'll do one legs, and then you end up training legs like once every 3 weeks. So I do think that you need to be putting, if you are going to be on a gym program, it needs to be one that is specific to you, one that you're actually realistically going to be able to adhere to. Because, you know, you can have the most fancy gym program in the world with these, you know, drop sets, supersets, tri sets, pyramid sets, you know, but unless you're adhering to the entire program for, you know, weeks on end, it's not going to get the same benefit. And as great as it will look on paper, being like, yeah, this is my gym program, yeah, it's great, like, but it doesn't mean anything if you're not going to adhere to it. So, you know, consistency is one of the biggest things, and it's something that I think everyone struggles with, is getting consistency. But you need to be aware that what's realistic to you, or what's realistic to someone else, may not be realistic to you. I think that's really important in kind of taking a step back and being like, okay, what can I actually do here that'll help me, and how am I going to, you know, make sure that I'm able to adhere to this, like, make sure it's in your lifestyle, make sure that you're able to keep it going, you know. And then the last thing that I wanted to talk about is, you know, your motivation. Like, it's very easy to say, oh, this is what motivates me, I'm really motivated now, and, you know, I'll go into the gym. But, like, you mightn't be motivated by session four, so you need to have other things in place that are going to get you to do the things that you need to do, other than those burning moments where, like, I'm so motivated for this. And, like, I you know, everyone is, it's a human thing for your motivation to fluctuate, but it's about putting things in place that'll get you over the line when, on the days that you're not motivated. You know, the most progress is made when you're doing the things that you know you need to do when you're not motivated to do them. And that's the hardest part. Because the easy thing to do when you're not motivated is like, oh, I could train, oh, there's a new episode of this, or there's a new movie out, I might just, you know. Whereas, like, that's always going to be there. Whereas if you have, as I said before, these rules that if you try your best to adhere to, and have a framework around you so that when it does come that your motivation isn't exactly where it needs to be, then you'll be able to say, right, I can go back to my rules, and I can look at how am I going to get here, right? This is what, when I was so motivated, this is what I said I was going to do. And that's the hardest part, you know, creating the consistency and performing and, you know, getting stuck into what you know you need to do when you're not motivated to do it. It's the whole thing. So, yeah. Like, it is hard, and I'm not saying it's not hard, and that's why I feel like we live in a world where we look at, you know, Instagram and fitness models and everything, and everyone just wants to be that. Whereas, you know, you need to be realistic in terms of, like, you know, if you're always comparing to, you know, people with six packs and bikini bodies and saying that you want that, and then you're like, okay, I'm gonna do this, and this. Whereas, like, it's not really realistic for you to try and achieve that right now. So I think you've got to bring it back to your own life and think, okay, how can I strive towards that, but also stay within my life and my lifestyle? Because, like, at the end of the day, it's your life, and, you know, comparison is the thief of joy, as they say. Like, for me personally, it was always something that I always wanted to, what's the word? I always wanted to be these things that I was seeing. And then it was like, I would then be trying to do or try to do what these people do. But then I'm like, that's not really attainable for me and in my kind of lifestyle. So I think trying to find a way that'll work in your life that's unique to you, specific to you, is the best way to reach your goals and, you know, be happy as fuck. So the last thing, I keep saying last thing, but the last thing that I wanted to do was the relationship with food, which is definitely, I definitely had a bad relationship. I probably don't have a great relationship with food still. I'm trying. But, you know, the boredom eating is something for me that, like, it's like, oh, I'm not even hungry. And I'll just go in to the kitchen and you kind of like, you're like, I'll have a nibble at that. And then, but you know those times when you're actually hungry and you're like, oh, I need to eat something or I'm starving. Whereas like, it's not the same as you just kind of waddling around being like, I could have some of that. So I think trying to change the relationship that you have with food and trying to think of it more as like a fuel source rather than a, you know, a comfort thing or a, you know, a habit thing, I think is really important. And I think relationship with food, it's not an easy thing. And if you don't have a great relationship with food, listening to me say this isn't gonna, you know, probably do much for you. But I do think that if you do have a poor relationship with food, you probably need to address it. And not saying like, oh, do this and you got to be really hard on yourself, but you do need to have a look and say, okay. And I think, again, back to the whole start, is like, if you look at the way that you track, you'll be able to see these things, and you'll be able to see the red flags that'll, you know, you don't need anyone else to do it. You'll be able to see yourself. Now obviously a lot of people, you know, that they need a hand with it, and that's perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with needing help. But I do think that the relationship with food, that, you know, like, even for example, people with fad diets that are out there now, people say, oh, I'm gonna cut out fats, or I'm gonna cut out carbs, and then you're like, that's not a good relationship with food. Like, you don't need to cut out anything. And if it's for, you know, weight loss or for fat loss, you know, it's just about being in a calorie deficit. Like, you can literally, like, if you eat bad food but stay in a calorie deficit consistently, you will lose fat, but just not healthy, like. So that's why I would say is, if you are still listening and you're thinking about your own diet, I would say allow yourself to have the treats, allow yourself to enjoy your food, but just find a way that you can do both. And I wouldn't be trying to do a massively restrictive diet. I think sustainability is going to be the key for, you know, the longevity of your, you know, habit change, in that, you know, if you try and go like the all or nothing, like if you try and go all at it, like 90% of the time, unless you're a professional, like, you're probably gonna fail. Like, that's why I think there has to be some sort of midway ground where you can be a little bit bold, but you can also, you know, enjoy it. And that's why I don't think diets should make you miserable, because a miserable diet just means that you're gonna revert back. So I don't think, you know, starting a really restrictive diet is gonna massively, like, help you. Whereas I think changing some lifestyle habits, like, that in turn will then, you know, create a better overall situation. That sounded extremely spewy, but look, I really enjoyed chatting today. It's good to be back behind the mic. I like doing things like this. I do still find it a little bit strange sitting on my own doing this, but you know, again, hopefully COVID permitted, we will get some guests back on here and it'll be all great. I was never keen on doing the Zoom things. I prefer to have someone sitting in front of me and having kind of a back and forth properly. So but yeah, if you do have any interest in, you know, looking at your nutrition or your training or any of that, do shoot me a message, or you can shoot me an email. The email is escapadetraining@gmail.com, and the same on Instagram is escapade@escapadetraining. So, that's all from me. Enjoy. Enjoy. Goodbye. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your evening. Okay. Goodbye.